My name is Etienne, I'm an alcoholic. And I want to start by saying that I discovered in doing the step that I was an alcoholic at birth. So I was not predisposed to be an alcoholic. I mean, I was born an alcoholic because I had the ism way before I discovered alcohol. I had no reason to be, you know, I hear the meetings and I hear people with horror stories, and I come from a perhaps dysfunctional. My father was a workaholic, but you know, I come with a family of five kids and two parents, and everything was fine, and we had everything we wanted, and you know, there was no trauma. There was my dad was working, my mom was raising us. I mean, it was just fine, and so. But I remember that I got my first drink. I think I was a babysitter, and I proceeded to get drunk. I think I must have been 12. And by then I should have known that my drinking was gonna be unmanageable, and I got plastered. And unlike the story I hear, I didn't wake up the day after feeling that I had arrived or that was such a great experience. You know, I was sick as a dog, and I didn't do it for a while, and I resumed later on. But you know, my early life, there was no alcohol. I mean, I remember when I was like 25, I used to live in DC, and I was content with one drink when I was going out. So my consumption wasn't there. My consumption started later on. When I think I used to equate it with power, when I, you know, as a chef, and when I was a cook, and then when I became a chef and people started catering to my need, then I, you know, I started drinking, and it became, you know, every night. And I remember one day driving back home saying, you know, it hasn't been a single day since I haven't had a drink. I most likely was drinking, driving drunk. Not plastered by drunk, by legal standard, should not have been drinking, should have not have been driving. And I remember, but you know, I didn't do anything. I was a good provider. I was, at that time I was married, and you know, we had four kids, and I was providing financially. And you know, this is what my dad did. My dad was, you know, was providing financially, was not exactly there emotionally. And I didn't think that's what dad was supposed to do. My wife was taking care of. So I, you know, I provided. And sometimes my wife, or my ex-wife at that time, that now, would complain about my drinking. And I just thought she didn't understand. I mean, I just blew it away. But, you know, one day she was away on vacation with her friends. And on the nightstand, there was the book by Melody Beattie, The Codependent No More. For some reason, I read it, and I thought that was odd that my wife would think about it like this. But anyhow, you know, I decided, okay, I need to, you know, maybe it's not going so well. I stopped drinking. I was full of insecurity because I was also a terrible husband. I mean, I was, you know, I was the husband that no wife wants to have. And so, you know, I stopped drinking, and then we started trying to work the marriage. And we went to see a marriage therapist, and she advised me. She said, you know, you should go to AA. And I thought that was hot because I'd stopped drinking for maybe a week. And, you know, as an alcoholic, I thought I'd stopped for a week. So I'm stopped for life because I don't see, I didn't know anything about the program then. And so I say, okay, fine, I'm gonna go see because I'm paying her. And so maybe I should follow the advice. And so I went to AA, and I had gone 2 years before, I had a DUI, and part of my sentences, get your license back, was I had to go do this assessment classes. And a part of the classes, you had to do six meetings, but you had 1 month to do it. But I was such a busy guy that I couldn't find the time to do six meetings. So I did five, and they gave me back my license. And I thought I'd count the system. You know, as my drinking progressed, my standard went down. when it was, it, when at the very beginning, you know, when I thought I was, had some integrity, I was like, we cannot drink and drive. It became, don't get caught. Then it became, don't get caught twice. Then after that, it became the joke that you hear in the meetings, which I stopped driving. And I was at the restaurant and I would close the restaurant and sleep at the restaurant because I knew I couldn't drive. And so, you know, I go to the meeting and I was like, well, I did what I hear people, a lot of people did. Is I said, this guy doesn't have teeth. This guy's missing, you know, he drove 25 times without a license. I mean, I'm looking at the things that are different. Until there was a guy that was able to say, he said to me, say, how are you doing, Etienne? In the US, difficult for American to say my name without difficulties. And so I turned around and this guy had been a restaurateur. He was a good customer of mine because of buying big wines. And so, you know, something clicked and I started feeling a little bit like I belong. There was a guy there that had the same job, same social status. And I said, yeah. You know, I started looking, listening carefully, more carefully. I wasn't, you know, and I did what you guys told me. I asked a guy to sponsor me. I didn't hear the part where you say, call your sponsor. I asked a guy to sponsor me, and that's, and so I would see my sponsor at every meeting. I still have, for some reason, I was going to meeting almost every day. That's the thing I heard really clearly. And so my sponsor said to me, says, you know, if you're not ready for the step, no worries. For me, I'm a slacker. I don't want to work. I was like, okay, that's perfect. I mean, I don't have to do anything. And so, you know, I would see that my sponsor, we didn't work anything. And I kind of convinced myself that maybe I'm the exception for whom all the steps are not necessary. Maybe, you know, the first three steps were pretty easy because there's nothing to do. It's just a state of mind for me. Everything else after that, I said, maybe I'm special. Maybe I don't need to do that because, you know, everything was doing somewhat fine. I was okay. I was enjoying life. I was still a terrible husband. I had not changed there. And after 4 years, my wife at that point, you know, I got kicked out. It wasn't working to her liking. And so then my sponsor, I got into an apartment that belonged to a friend of mine that was in rehab. You know, I've got some great friends there. And so the guy says to me, says, you know, don't worry, call the cable company and they'll hook it up. I'll say, oh, no, my wife will call me back within a week. There's no need for the cable. And my sponsor said, well, maybe now it's time to do your fourth step. And again, I listened and I did my first, and I discovered all this fear and all the ism. And that's where I said, well, I had that before I discovered a drink. And so I did this. The marriage floundered like the Titanic. And I never, you know, I moved out. At that time, I was in Charlotte. I got sober in North Carolina in Charlotte. One of my greatest fear was what you would call violently anti-religious. And I was so scared that this guy would make me go to church on Sunday. And no such a thing happened. And my sponsor didn't say anything. You know, I went to this meeting and they were doing the prayers but nobody force fed me anything about religion. So, you know, I get kicked out, the marriage flounders, and I'm moving out of town. I'm moving, and so this time in Charlotte, I'm moving down for a couple of months to Alabama. And one thing that I clearly understood was the need for meetings. And that, so before I move to Alabama, I find out where the meetings are in Birmingham. And I find an apartment when I'm going to be close to the meeting. So I became a runner in AA. And so I would run. I'd love to run to the meeting and run back home. And so I found a meeting. And I moved to Virginia. I moved like every couple of years, I would move to another state. And every time I would do the same thing. And so I was able to meet people that I would otherwise never have met. I mean, at one point I lived in Iowa for 2 years and I met this guy, they were the hillbillies in camouflage outfit, etc. These guys kept me sober. because I keep going to the meeting. I was mixing in the NA meeting, not that drugs were part of my story, but there was very few meetings in that town, it's a little town. And so I mix in NA. And actually, in Charlotte, you couldn't speak about drugs. And I always wanted to hear people telling me about drugs. Because by now, I know that it's not a part of my story, but that's just a yet. Because I know, I love, we're speaking at the meeting this morning. I'm addicted to everything that makes me feel good. And I know the drugs would make me feel good. And so I moved. I go to meeting. I stay sober. And then I fast forward. I'm back in Boston here. Enfin, I arrived in Boston 10 years ago. And I got married. I got remarried in between. I got remarried in Iowa, moved to Boston. And we had two kids. So I had four kids before. So I got two kids now. I mean, and things are working. I mean, I keep working I keep going to the meeting. Couple years ago, during the confinement, I did the step again, the series of steps, which is where I had plenty of time because I was home and I did with Zoom, I was able to do the meetings. And I had never done the 90 and 90. And with Zoom and the confinement, I was able to do 180 and 90. I mean, it was like, and it's been my way of doing it is like I usually start the meeting in the morning, start my day by a meeting and end the day by a meeting. And things are fine. Things are fine. There's no trauma in my life. There's especially the people that bear the same last name as I, they're okay with me. They're okay with being around with me. The people I work with are okay. And now all the people that I know in Mass have known me sober. Because moving from state to, you have to make new relationships. So, all the people, the other day at a meeting, we're speaking about what happened, how do the people that know you before see you now? Well, besides my first four sons, everybody in my life now knows me as a sober person, so they can't really tell the difference. And so I did the steps, and I discovered again more things as an alcoholic when I did the step for the first 4 years. I was like, okay, I'm done. And I went through meeting and I stayed sober. And sometimes I'm sober, sometimes I'm a raging alcoholic. I mean, I go from sober to dry drunk in between. And the closer I stay to the meeting, the more sober I get. And so I did the step and I discovered one thing is I suck at relationship. Because they told me at the beginning that I was selfish, and I was like, well, maybe, again, I said, maybe I'm an exception, but I know I'm selfish. I know that I'm constantly thinking about myself, what's in it for me, it's all really. And with this time, with the step, I was able to address that. I not addressed it because I didn't, the implications were not drastic. Also, I thought. And so I discovered new things. One of the things that I'm particularly grateful for, I've been going to your typical AA meeting, your non-secular meeting, for the longest time. And had it not been for COVID, I would never have met you guys, would never have known that there were secular meeting. I would never have known there's a whole bunch of meeting. I keep going back to the city that I lived in and see the people that I got sober, like I start in the morning by doing a meeting in Charlotte, and I finish at night, usually a meeting either. Like yesterday, somehow I went on that website and I picked up one in New York City where I had a blast. These guys were funny. I mean, usually the AA meetings are not exactly Saturday Night Lives. I mean, sometimes it's funny, but often you don't laugh the whole time. And yesterday, but in the end, what I can say is that all this meeting, my disease is with me 24/7. And my disease tells me, you don't need to go to this meeting, or you can get away with, you know, you can do this, you can little, you know, there's an argument I had with my sponsor, not an argument, discussion with my sponsor about the lies. I was a liar and a cheat. And now I'm rationalizing that it's not quite a lie. It's a little white lie. That's okay. It's not, you know, it's like the lawyer saying, I'm not breaking the law, I'm bending it. And so I've got a tendency to bend the lies, and I have to go back to down to earth and say, okay, no, I can't do that. Because I'm not, you know, I, as an alcoholic, I cannot, there's no, you know, there's the other saying that I comes from the 12 and 12, where it says when I'm upset, I have to check check with me. And as an alcoholic, I said, well, there's gonna be exception to that. And there are no exception to that. There are no exception to the, when I have a resentment, it can never be justified for me, because for me, the resentment, everybody's heard that. I mean, it's too, if I carry the resentment, I will drink. There is no, you know, I have to be reminded of that on a daily basis. Because there's no exception. There's no, I'm an alcoholic, I can't drink in safety. My disease tells me, you never had tequila, maybe you can try that and see, you know, maybe it's going to be different. And so, you know, I have to come back to this meeting. For me, you know, the other day I was speaking at a meeting, and some, you know, my message is simple. It's meeting, 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 meeting. And me, I'm not bored by that. I get to see different people, as I said, that I would never have the chance to meet. And this guy picks a fight with me saying, well, the people I know that went back, yeah, they were going to meetings. I said, well, I mean, there's always, you know, there's always me, what I know, that I've been going to meeting for the past 23 years and haven't had the urge, haven't felt the need to pick up a drink. It's, and more often than not, my life has been good. I mean, I was speaking to a sponsee yesterday and I said, can you look at your life now and say, well, I wish, you know, I was back when I was drinking or anything like this. I can't say that. I mean, every day is kind of a, I'm getting older now, so my life is a little bit more simpler. It's like there's no big drama or big like I used to have, but you know, it's just fine. I mean, I enjoy little things. I mean, I've got two sons now that are relatively young, and I'm able to take them to school and to take them from school. I'm able to do things that when I was married to my first wife, I wasn't doing because I thought I had to work. I thought, and by work, more often than I was working, but I was not always also working, was also enjoying myself. So, you know, I'm glad you guys invited me today. And with that, thank you for letting me share.